Welcome to the Martial Arts and Crafts Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Deacon, life balance coach for better adulting, martial artist, instructor, creative artist, wife, mother, and all-around person. Thank you for joining me on the show as we learn together how to make an impact through personal growth, responding to challenges, making choices, and learning more about our identity, belonging, and purpose. On to the show. Hello, and welcome back to the Martial Arts and Crafts Podcast. I am your host, Sarah Deacon. It's a pleasure to be here with you again. Once again, here we are. I want to talk to you today, parents, about trust. How do you trust your children? Now, don't jump right ahead and say, well, I don't trust them because they're teenagers. The question is, how do you trust your children? Trust is built over time in a relationship, in business, even matters of faith, spirituality. Trust is required anytime we want to grow or connect on a deeper level. And then there's also a level of trust implied in every single personal interaction we have. Now, there's a level of trust. Sometimes it's, I don't trust the way you're showing up at me right now because I can see right through the sales pitch or the thing that somebody's, you know, just surface saying in order to get us to respond a certain way. But it's an act of trust to just introduce yourself to someone new, right? To say your name out loud to someone and trust that they might remember it. To trust yourself to remember their names. When you say a prayer, you trust that God or another powerful entity, the universe, spirit, something, the force is listening. When you write down your deepest, darkest secrets in that journal you keep by your bed, you trust that it will not only help you make sense of your mind, but you also trust that anyone else in your household will respect your privacy enough not to open it and read it because they may misinterpret it or they may not trust that you don't necessarily mean everything you write in that journal. Not like I'm talking from experience or anything like that. No, I do use a journal and I highly recommend it because it is. You have to trust someone a whole lot to reveal your deepest, darkest secrets to another person. And the thing about that is even another person cannot be entirely unbiased or impartial. There is going to be judgment that comes up no matter how impartial or neutral or calm or peaceful or understanding someone else is. There's always going to be a level of story that the other person brings to what they hear from you. So I highly recommend journaling for the purpose of untangling and organizing thoughts, especially thoughts that you know if you say out loud, they could hurt somebody or maybe wouldn't come out the most politically correct. And that's not, this is a little bit of a sidetrack. That's not saying that you're going to be like that you're a bad person if you have those thoughts. We all have thoughts that we wouldn't want articulated out loud or someone else to hear. We judge other people. We tell our own stories about things that are not necessarily true. And if you've done some work, you understand that many of your thoughts are just stories and overreactions to certain things. So, One point for journals and the trust you build with this inanimate object, right? Or the pen and paper, the place you put your thoughts, whether it's maybe it's a voice recording, or maybe it's a pen and paper, or maybe it is someone neutral, impartial, non-judgmental who you talk to. There are those outlets that require trust, right? Let's keep talking about trust. Let's go back. In relationship with people, you build trust by asking questions and listening to the other person's answers. In turn, you offer some answers to the questions they ask about you. And you might hesitate to share some of your larger struggles or deeper issues at first, because not every stranger needs to know exactly how we feel about, you know, that private thing that we only tell our journals about. But yet, as we build trust, as you develop and deepen a friendship, you continue to talk, you connect, you discuss things like God and politics, religion and spirituality, beliefs and judgments that you might make on other people, places, things, circumstances, right? And when the trust builds, you start to realize that just because an opinion you have or something you've experienced is not the same as that other person's, you trust that they're not gonna hold that against you or break off the relationship because of it. You discuss how you're similar, you discuss how you're different, and choose more and more personal topics, which brings you closer to each other, strengthens your connection, and builds, guess what, more trust between you. Trust is risky, right? The best way to find out if you can trust somebody is to trust them. Ooh, that's scary, right? Ernest Hemingway said that. That's a quote from Ernest Hemingway. The best way to find out if you can trust somebody is to trust them. So the best way to find out if you can't trust somebody, guess what? It's to trust them. Children, they're born trusting. Trust is hardwired in us from birth. A newborn's default is trust. Trust that their cries of communication are going to be heard. Trust that their basic need, the needs for food, safety, and comfort, that those will be met by their caregivers. Their trust in their parents is reinforced by how the parents respond to these primal needs: food, safety, comfort, warmth. If a baby cries and they get no response, that trust starts to erode. It's natural for the baby to trust their parents. And it doesn't actually always come naturally for a parent to trust their baby. Let me tell a little story about my previous business incarnation as a postpartum doula. The reason I had that job, that it was even a thing to come and help parents with their newborns, is because we've lost trust in our own abilities and trust in our baby to communicate their need. I helped a lot of moms learn how to listen to their babies, how to connect with their babies, how to find themselves in relationship to their baby, and to understand that they had more information than they thought because their baby was communicating with them. So if you are a parent, how many baby books did you read before you had a baby? How many parenting websites did you go to? How many blogs did you read? How many podcasts did you listen to? How many message boards did you lurk around or post in? I say message boards, but same could be true. Facebook groups, you know, Reddit channels, whatever's out there at this point in time. In my day, it was these, you know, random message boards and blogs. I didn't have Facebook before I had my oldest, so that just dates me a little bit. So for me, Yes, I had all of those things. I had too many things. I had books. I didn't listen to podcasts. Then I had websites, blogs, all sorts of other resources, the advice of well-meaning relatives, right? Too many references to count. In fact, becoming a parent was actually probably one of the pivotal moments on my journey of personal development. All the books, the message boards, and the blogs that I read, it helped me learn what I didn't know about something because I'd never done it before. And my hunger for knowledge and guidance, well, it kept growing because the more I learned, the more I learned I didn't know. So the more I learned, the more I learned how much I didn't know, how much there was out there left to learn. My hunger for this knowledge, for this guidance, that's how I got to where I am now as a parent and as a professional coach, working with parents, working with teenagers, especially. Ultimately, what parenting came down to for me was a matter of trust. Like I said, trust in myself and all of the knowledge and instincts that I had right there inside me, and trust in my children, my babies, to communicate with me in a way that I could understand, trust my ability to respond appropriately to their communication. And if adult humans like you and me, if we have learned, if we can learn to trust this tiny newborn to communicate their own needs, can we also learn to trust our older children, our teenagers, to communicate with us too? Obviously, the communication evolves over time as they grow, as does our trust and our relationship. But we can learn what we don't know so that we can respond appropriately to them as their ability to communicate grows, evolves, changes. Their willingness to communicate with us might be changing. And as they begin to look and sound so much like adults, the way our teenagers express their own needs, it's not the same as it used to be. Because like I said, they look and sound so much like adults. They're not. Not yet. They're close. They're still growing. They're still evolving. They're still learning how to communicate in this new way, at this new level. Because the way our teens communicate with us, it's not the same way that adults communicate. No matter how many influential and fantastic, phenomenal adults they've had in their lives and been exposed to over the years, their minds just don't quite work the same way. And let's be honest, friends. And I say this with love. Let's be clear. Many full-grown humans, many grown-up adults still have trouble communicating effectively with each other and expressing what they really need. If we have trouble doing this between adults, is it any wonder that we have trouble communicating with our teenage children who communicate at a different level? Communication with teenagers is a trust issue. Now, it's all sorts of other things, but today we're talking about trust. Parents and teenagers, they feel disconnected from each other for two reasons. One, they don't trust themselves. Two, they don't trust each other. So again, maybe there's more reasons. I'm talking about these two reasons, which I think are really important. This is something I'm seeing over and over again as teens are working through some of their disconnectedness. They don't trust themselves. They don't trust each other. Now, when parents don't trust themselves, maybe they'll make excuses for their teen's attitude or behavior. Maybe they'll dismiss everything that comes up as a phase and pull back, disengage from their children even more, or put off making an attempt to connect until it's easier, until the mood has shifted, until, well, tomorrow I'll have more time to invest it, until it comes more naturally. Parents who don't trust themselves might label their teenager as difficult or lazy or something else. Oppositional, confronting, angry, attitude problem. They might outsource their children to another adult, a teacher, maybe a friend's parent, another relative, a coach, which is not necessarily ineffective, you know, provided the outsourcing is done intentionally and with connection in mind. And I just talked about outsourcing in a previous episode. And like I said, it's okay to outsource your children intentionally. But if you're just, I think the term would be more like pawning them off. If you're just passing your teenager off to somebody else because you don't feel equipped or trust yourself to connect with them in the way they need, that's, again, a lack of trust in yourself, right? Parent who doesn't trust themselves. Now, when teenagers don't trust themselves, well, they might do a lot of the similar things. They might withdraw. They might avoid communicating much. Their brains right now, they're in a rapid developmental phase in which most things, especially feelings, attitudes, behaviors, don't make sense even to themselves, even to them. And when they try to communicate something that doesn't make sense, they'll get more frustrated. And especially if you or the person they're communicating with can't quite understand how frustrating it is, or how it doesn't make sense, or why it doesn't make sense, or just plain don't understand them. They can't feel like they can trust themselves to know what's going on. So they'll give up trying to express it to other people, especially other people who are not going through the same thing. That's why the peers become so much more important, because they're all going through the same thing. So that's what happens if you teenagers, parents don't trust yourselves. Now, when you don't trust each other, there's, you know, more of the same, right? When parents don't trust their teenagers, they micromanage things. They manage activities and schedules. They spend a lot of time enforcing rules and a lot of energy attempting to control their children's attitudes and behaviors. Now, this is something I struggle with. I take on a lot of responsibility for the consequences of my teen's choices. And I mean, not an excessive amount, but I'm aware that I'm doing it, and I'm working on relaxing and letting go and letting him take more ownership in what needs to be done for his own life. Now, there are certain things that you have to enforce, obviously. What I'm talking about here is the excessive amounts of micromanaging, establishing strict routines, demanding unquestioning obedience. So it's my rules, my house. As long as you live under my roof, you'll follow my rules. They tend to see these parents who don't trust their children tend to see their child, their teenager, as someone who still needs a lot of protection and oversight, as, you know, kind of a project instead of a person. Instead of coming alongside them, trusting them to grow into an adult who is learning to be more independent, forgetting kind of the goal of them leaving you someday. All right. Parents who don't trust their teenagers might see their teen failing or exposing some of their so-called flaws or faults as a reflection on themselves, the parent, or their parenting abilities. all really tough stuff and stuff that I work on unpacking with both parents and their teenagers. When teens don't trust their parents, they might lie, hide things. They tend to dismiss their parents' concerns or brush off offers of support in difficult situations. You know, saying, "Oh no, I got it. I can handle it, Mom. It's all right." They tend to believe that their parents wouldn't understand what they're going through, so it's better to figure things out on their own. Now, it's possible that they do know better than the adults around them in certain cases, but in a lot of the time, it's just a belief that they know better than the adults. And I will say this, many, many teenagers also recognize the wisdom that comes from age. And the barrier is that they just kind of don't know how to access it without admitting that they still actually need the parenting and the guidance that they do still need, right? They're trying to assert their independence. They don't trust their parent to maybe not make them feel like a baby for needing help. Okay. So that's a lot of deep stuff about trust of ourselves, about trust of the other person in this particular relationship between parent and teenager. We all have these moments where we fail to trust ourselves, fail to trust each other. I mentioned, you know, what I'm working on with my son. If you're starting, like me, to recognize that certain challenges with your teenager are challenges having to do with trust, it's appropriate to keep investigating this. Sometimes a lack of trust or a perceived lack of trust, you know, even if you just kind of think, oh, well, they don't trust me, the perceived lack of trust can come up in a single situation or an interaction. It sort of bumps up against this strong foundation of trust. And it's, you know, a lot of times you can course correct. If you've built that solid foundation of trust, if something comes up where you get that feeling like, they don't trust me, well, sometimes you can consciously and mindfully say, well, I know my parent loves me. I know my child loves me. And they're probably not doing this intentionally to undermine our trust in each other or trust in myself. For some families, trust has been in a pattern of erosion over time already. And it just keeps breaking down, breaking down, breaking down, breaking down. Now, there's nothing wrong with you if you're experiencing a breakdown of trust. There's nothing wrong with your teenager either. You're human. And it's so easy to get caught in this negative spiral of breaking of trust. The good news is that building up trust and that foundation of trust, connecting in your relationship with your children, that's always possible no matter where you're starting from. You can always start where you are, no matter what trust looks like for you right now. You can start rebuilding it. So there's hope. Now, remember when you learned to trust yourself as a parent? Remember when you learned the difference in your baby's cries, how to read their behavior, their grunts and wiggles and coos? Remember how you learned to tell that a toddler tantrum meant it was time for a snack or a bathroom break? The difference between that or when something was really serious going on? And remember how you knew to sit a little bit longer after reading a bedtime story because you recognized there was something on your preschooler's mind? You've built trust. You know how to trust your child. You know how to trust your own instinct as a parent or as a caregiver of a child. Just the way we communicate, it evolves over time as we grow, as they grow. I want to invite you to start to trust, if you don't already, notice how you trust your teenager. Notice what's happening when they communicate with you. What thoughts are you having in your mind as maybe there's a confrontation or an argument? Think and start to believe that you trust that your teenager is communicating with you, is trying to communicate with you, not at you or against you, but with you, even if they're not using the words you might expect or appreciate. Because sometimes even the words "I hate you" and a slamming door is a way of making a bid for your connection, for attention, for connection. I'm going to stick with connection as the word. It might not be the most effective way to get that need for connection met, but please recognize your teenager is longing for that connection. They're longing for you to understand them and for you to trust them, that they know better what's going on in their own head, that you believe in their ability to handle themselves, even when it's tough, even when they still might need an outside voice. So showing how you trust them in those small ways, in those really pivotal moments, because it is, it's just a moment, it's a small moment. Showing that you trust them. Maybe it's as simple as not speaking until they're done speaking. I know we get excited. We think we know the answer sometimes, and we jump in and interrupt a conversation. This is something I struggle with myself. Why do you think I solo cast so much? There's no one to interrupt. Or there's no one for me to have to talk over or sit and wait for my turn to speak. What was I saying? Yes, I'm working on this myself, of listening, being present. And it's easy for my clients because I set my intention beforehand. With my family, I don't always do that. Set the intention to build trust, to build connection, to listen, to understand. Okay, so that's something that I do want to bring more of into my family relationships, relationships with my children, relationship with my husband, with friends. Of course, we're all human. We're going to mess up. But the way that you show up now can show your teen how you want them to show up, or how you hope they will show up in their relationships with other people when they have their own children, when they have a girlfriend, boyfriend, spouse, partner later in life. The way you show up for them is a model. So if you're not already behaving in a way that shows trust or that builds trust, because that can be risky, right? The best way to learn if you can trust somebody is to trust them. That's a big risk, because you risk the trust being broken. But it's so important for a foundation of a good relationship with your teenager. And what I really want for you is this deep connected relationship, that you end up friends as they become adults, that you stay close and connected, and that your relationship will not shatter during these teenage years, but that it will solidify and strengthen, so that as you go into the next stage of parenting of a full-blown adult, there is this foundation, this shared experience, this meaning, and this connection where you can be proud of who they are and who they've become and the choices they've made and the relationships they have. And you can be proud of yourself and reinforce the trust that you are building with your own self. And I think there's going to be a whole other episode on building trust with yourself, because it's just as important as building trust in relationship with other people. And I want to just invite you, if you're interested in learning some different practical communication techniques, ways to improve trust and communication between you and your family members, I would love to have a conversation with you about it. And you can contact me through my website at saradeacon.com, saradeacon.com, and find all sorts of information about my coaching. You can follow me on the social media at saradeaconcoach. I also share a lot of my arts and crafts and these podcast episodes at my martial arts and crafts on Facebook and Instagram. You can find me at Sarah Deakin Coach, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. That, I think, wraps up this conversation on trust, at least for today. I think it's, like I said, when you don't trust yourself, you don't trust the other person in your relationship, there's a whole slew of ways that shows up in behavior, attitudes, choices. So if you're interested in unpacking some of that and where trust might be a factor or lack of trust, then please feel free to reach out to me through any of my social channels or my website, saradeacon.com. And I look forward to talking with you again soon. In the meantime, adulting is fun. Have fun with it.